You've heard of climate change. Today, the dawn of the climate hub. From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. Today, President Obama is announcing seven of what the administration's calling climate hubs around the country. These hubs will collect data to help farmers and others deal with drought, fires, and floods. Here to help explain how this is going to work is Marketplace's David Weinberg. Good morning.
Good morning, David.
So what will these hubs do exactly?
So there's not a lot of data details yet on how they will work, but basically the seven hubs, and there's three sub-hubs, will collect regional data on climate conditions, and they'll use that data to educate farmers and rural communities on how to deal with things like drought and changes in growing season. And the U.S. Department of Agriculture says that drought alone from 2011 to 2013 cost the U.S. $50 billion. And the creation of these hubs is an example of the president's plan to bypass Congress on certain issues, something you may remember that he promised to do in his State of the Union speech last week.
Yes, doing stuff by executive order. And how will these hubs use the data to actually help rural communities?
Well, we could see initiatives like we're seeing now in California, which has been especially hard hit by the drought. These are things like storm water capture projects or invasive pest control, which have a big impact on the ag business. And data could be used to help communities manage their water use better, develop systems for recycling water. And the hubs would also study fire seasons, which are getting longer and more severe as temperature rises. And this is the sort of stepping stone to broader climate change legislation that the Obama administration would like to pass in his second term.
Mm-hmm. Marketplace's David Weinberg, thank you. Later today, Twitter will reveal its quarterly profits and losses now that it's a publicly traded company. The social media company is likely to make the argument that what matters now is not making profits, but revenue. Marketplace's Adrian Hill reports.
Sure. Earnings matter in an earnings report. But folks who follow Twitter are going to be looking other places for clues, too. Deborah Aho-Williamson is an analyst at eMarketer.
I'm going to be watching for any information they can give about how big their user base is getting.
User numbers. That's a big one.
They do trail behind Facebook by a wide margin, and there have been some concerns that while they are growing substantially, that Twitter is still a hard service to use.
She's going to be looking out for any sign Twitter might try to simplify. Nate Elliott follows Twitter for Forrester Research.
I'm actually most looking forward to hearing what the management has to say about their plans for marketing and advertising offerings.
Of course, all these other indicators, how many users, how many ads, add up to the question investors want an answer to. How much money? I'm Adrian Hill for Marketplace.
The pressure is on throughout the retail industry now after Target stores pledged to spend $100 million to upgrade its point-of-purchase security system. Since just after Thanksgiving, the story at Target has been data thieves who got into the private info of 70 million Target customers. Target will now move toward the added security of equipment that reads credit and debit cards that contain embedded microchips, as is the fashion at stores overseas. As banks issue more of those cards, other retailers may also need to upgrade. Spain's terrible unemployment rate of 26% tops that of any European Union country except for Greece. New data this week show that 113,000 more people lost their jobs in January. But the Spanish government says the job market should improve as the year wears on. From Madrid, the BBC's Tom Burridge reports one advantage the country enjoys is a skilled and what businesses see as an affordable workforce.
Antonio Molina takes us inside a lab in Madrid. He set up the company working here in 2009, at the height of Spain's economic crisis. Back then, getting funding was hard.
I went to 69 different banks and investment banks and private investors. 69 banks. I like that number. It's a funny number. And I stopped there.
But in a sign that investor confidence is returning, Antonio this year has secured 21 million euros from a French-Swiss venture capital firm. Antonio says startups based in Spain, like his, have an advantage. The workforce here is well trained, but labor costs are relatively low.
In Spain, we have very highly trained and highly qualified scientists from the technical point of view, and the cost per person is low compared to the U.S. or to Germany.
Spain has become more competitive because we have a lot of unemployment. Many people have been fired. Salaries have gone down. But this is the hard way.
Professor Xavier Vives from ESA Business School believes more radical structural reforms are needed in Spain if growth here is really to take off and unemployment significantly fall.
There is no reform package to make Spain more competitive. What we need is to invest more in innovation, in research and development, in education, which makes the basis of competitiveness solid and long-term.
But radical economic reforms are unlikely to come before May's European elections. Both Antonio and Juan are planning on doubling their small workforces this year. But despite returning growth, there are no signs that unemployment in Spain will fall significantly anytime soon.
That report from the BBC's Tom Burridge in Madrid. And going into some pharmacies is like the candy machine down at my gym. Products to make you healthier mixed with cigarettes, cigars, and other tobacco products for sale. Today, CVS Caremark announced it will no longer sell tobacco at its 7,600 drugstores. It'll forfeit an estimated $2 billion a year in sales. CVS says the move will help it grow its business, working with healthcare providers to help people get healthier. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.